What's going on, everyone? Welcome to One Man's Opinion Podcast. I am your host, Noah Gillian. So happy you decided to join in today. It is the 26th of October, 2021, and we are here today to recap another great week in sports. On today's episode, we are going to be talking about some fantasy football on the show today, and specifically at around the midpoint of the season, give or take a few weeks, we're going to be going over some of the positional leaderboards and talk about some key storylines that are developing across the league. Before we get started, if you want to follow us on social media, you can find me on Twitter at Noah Gillian, and you can find the show's account at One Man's Opinion 17. So without further ado, let's get right into it. This year has been a crazy year so far in the NFL, with multiple surprise teams in the NFL taking the league by storm. The same can be said in terms of fantasy football on the fantasy football landscape as we enter week 8. We circled back to our running back rankings right after week 2, after we did our preseason rankings. And now that we've had a little bit more of the season go by, wanted to take a more holistic view at the league and talk about some interesting trends that I've noticed and talk about some specific players at specific positions. So, kicking off our positional breakdowns, let's start at the quarterback position. This season through 7 weeks, there has been a pretty solid upper tier of quarterbacks, I would say, that have been consistent fantasy starters for people. That tier, based on scoring so far this season, is roughly about 9 players. You could give or take a few here and there, but I decided to cut it at 9. And the reason I did this was these are all players who average right around 23 fantasy points per game or more. Every other quarterback is sitting right around 21 fantasy points per game, like on the highest end. There's only one or two guys like that, or lower. So either below 21, and I kept everyone above 23. There's kind of that tier breakdown. And you know, that might not seem like a lot or a huge gap, but trust me, after a few wins or losses by a point or two, you would agree that's a decent sized margin. I'm sure everyone has had something like that, had a game in one of my leagues this last week that was decided by 0.1 points. Yes, you heard that right, 0.1 points. So, you know, it might not seem like a lot, but it is, trust me there. So, disclaimer also before I go into this list of 9, there were some quarterbacks who have outscored the last 2 names on my list. However, both of those quarterbacks were on bye in week 7, meaning that some of other quarterbacks jumped them in terms of total fantasy points scored, but still fall behind them by a decent margin in fantasy points per game, which I view as a little bit more of an important statistic in terms of fantasy points per game. So the list of 9 are as follows: Tom Brady at number 1, Jalen Hurts at number 2, Kyler Murray at number 3, Lamar Jackson at number 4, Patrick Mahomes at number 5, Matthew Stafford at number 6, Josh Allen at number 7, Justin Herbert at number 8, and Dak Prescott at number 9. As you can see here, the top 2 scoring quarterbacks, you know, this season were both selected outside of the top 8 of their position in draft season. Tom Brady was selected as the quarterback 9, 68th overall in drafts this year, and Jalen Hurts was selected as the quarterback 12, going around pick 96 in most drafts. The 2 others, Justin Herbert and Matthew Stafford, were 2 other QBs who were later selections at the position, but are 2 that are outperforming ADP. Justin Herbert was the quarterback 8. He was more outperforming his total or his overall ADP of 59, and Dak Prescott as well. Matthew Stafford as well, sorry. Matt Stafford was going at quarterback 10 and is now currently sitting at quarterback 6 on the year. This was the main point that I was trying to make in draft season when I previewed the quarterback position in episode 42 of the One Man's Opinion podcast. With the quarterback position, there are always players late in the draft that you can take that end up vastly outperforming their ADP year to year. And when I say ADP, I mean average draft position. They totaled up all the drafts from websites, from ESPN, Yahoo, FanTrax, Fantasy Pros, all these multiple websites. They compiled them all into a consensus ADP, so that's what I've been going off of. A couple years ago, the person that outperformed their ADP was Patrick Mahomes. You know, the next year it was Lamar Jackson. The next year it was Josh Allen. You know, there's these guys that, you know, we see as fantasy stalwarts now who weren't always like that. You know, they go later in drafts. I remember taking Lamar late. I remember trading Matt Breida for Patrick Mahomes, you know, the year before he threw 50 touchdowns in the preseason. Like, that's what these guys' values were. You know, Josh Allen was a 50% completion quarterback his rookie year. He was not supposed to be this MVP guy. So now that you can, and that's something you can kind of capitalize off the market inefficiency of the late round quarterback in fantasy drafts. The reason this strategy can be so valuable is that it allows you the freedom to attack other positions of greater need in the earlier rounds. I think everyone who is playing fantasy this year can attest that there are just not as many running backs, to use an example, who are upper echelon or even starting caliber in the fantasy landscape. But those who do have multiple starting caliber players at, you know, let's say running back, wide receiver, are much better set up for the home stretch than those who didn't. Maybe those other teams reached on a quarterback early, say, for example, Russell Wilson, who went around 50th overall, which was an early fourth round pick, you know, in 12-team leagues, but who has only been the 24th best quarterback this season based on total scoring. Now, he did get injured, which is baked into that ranking. You know, I kind of said fantasy points per game is a little bit more true of how a player's been going than total points per game, obviously because of injuries, bye weeks, yada, yada, yada. However, he was only averaging 19 fantasy points per game in games he was taking part of. And we kind of mentioned that 23 and up and that 21 and down is kind of that tier break from elite startable quarterbacks to streamers and potential players you might consider playing someone else with a better matchup. Now, instead of taking the quarterback early, they could have taken another running back in that range, say Daryl Henderson Jr. or Damian Harris or Javonte Williams, all running backs who were going in that same range as Russell Wilson, and they would have been better set up at the running back position, which we've already established falls off much quicker. And then, maybe if they took one of those running backs, they could have taken a Matt Stafford later. You know, they could have taken a Jalen Hurts later. I mean, look at Jalen Hurts. Was the number 12 quarterback off the boards in drafts, 96th overall, and he's the number 2 quarterback in fantasy this year. You know, say what you will about Jalen Hurts, and if you listened to episode 52 of One Man's Opinion, you will know what I, you know, think about Jalen Hurts. You know, he's getting it done from a fantasy perspective. You know, Tom Brady is having a great statistical year, and a lot of people didn't really like him, I guess, because there wasn't really much rushing upside with Brady. However, you know, he's throwing touchdowns. That's what he does, and he's killing it, and he's the number one quarterback in fantasy football so far this year. But, like I mentioned in the quarterback preview in episode 42 of One Man's Opinion podcast, it's worth it also to take these quarterbacks high at, now let me be specific, at a certain point. You're talking about these guys, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, and Josh Allen, the top four quarterbacks in terms of quarterback ADP this year. Kyler Murray is quarterback 3 so far this year. Lamar Jackson is quarterback 4 so far this year. Patrick Mahomes was the quarterback 1, but he's really not performing well. He is quarterback 5 on the year, and he's still doing well. Josh Allen, quarterback 7 on the year. He also just had a bye week, so, you know, if he had that bye week, scored a little bit more points, he could be higher. So, you know, that's the thing. I did kind of bang on Russell Wilson a little bit and say he was an early fourth round pick, and he could very well be in this list if he didn't get injured. But, like, you know, if you want to, like, and I did this very same strategy in a league of my own. I took Kyler Murray was sitting there for me in the 5th round. You know, I went running back, took George Kittle in the 3rd round, which I usually don't do, but he was sitting there in 3rd round. I thought it was good value, took him. Took Cooper Kupp in the 4th round, and, you know, having 2 running backs, a wide receiver, and a tight end, I felt like I had a really good baseline to go after Kyler Murray, and he's been a stud. He's been a potential MVP candidate on the undefeated Arizona Cardinals, and he's absolutely killing it. You know, if you want to watch Lamar Jackson run around and break ankles, and, you know, you're getting that, but you're also getting the fantasy production that's coming with it. So that's, you know, where I kind of wanted to make that point as well. At the quarterback position, yeah, it is my general rule of thumb to wait on quarterback, get a guy like Matt Stafford later, a guy like Jalen Hurts later, and, you know, capitalize with the rest of your roster throughout the draft. But that's not to say that these fantastic quarterbacks aren't fantastic. You know, they're being drafted there for a reason. You know, they have those ceilings for a reason. And, you know, some of those guys right now are showing you. Even Dak Prescott, he's the 9th ranked quarterback right now. but went at sixth in drafts. But still, he's already had his bye week, and he's playing fantastic football right now. So I think it was – I really wanted to kind of go over that point because, you know, I'm a big proponent of waiting on quarterback in fantasy drafts, and it's just interesting every year to see these names that pop up from the later rounds to go into the top five, you know, especially top ten, and really help those teams that – that take him late. And, you know, even if you take a quarterback earlier, that's not to say you can't be good. You know, I took Kyler Murray in the fifth round, which, you know, is later than he was going. You know, he was going 37th overall ADP-wise, and I got him in the fifth, and I'm 5-2 in that league. So it's not like if you take one of those guys early, you're just setting yourself up for L's. It's really just a value thing, and that's where I felt the value was with Kyler Murray. And, you know, the same can be said about Jalen Hurts. There was value there as well from a fantasy perspective. Now let's move on to running backs, because this is one of the pretty much the most important position in fantasy football, and something I spent a lot of time on in the preseason, as well as came back and reviewed that after week two. But now I did want to talk about it after as we go into week eight. So at the position this year, it has been all about Derrick Henry. He has scored 186.5 PPR points this season. Good for the second most total points scored by any player in fantasy this year, including quarterbacks. And he's easily the running back one, scoring about 50, more points than the second highest running back scorer. He has added some pass catching ability to his game, which has taken his fantasy game to the next level. And I mentioned this in the running back preview of the One Man's Opinion podcast. I think it was episode 43, if you want to go back, or let me just double check this real quick, because I did want to source it for you guys if you wanted to go back and check on, you know, when we kind of had this review of the running back. On episode 48 of the One Man's Opinion, on episode 45 of the One Man Opinion podcast, and this is bad showmanship right here, but the quarterback positional preview in the quarterback positional preview show in the preseason was actually episode 39. So if you're looking for that, you can go to episode 39 of the One Man's Opinion podcast. The running back review, where I came back and checked my running back rankings out, was episode 45. And in that review, I mentioned how, you know, Derrick Henry was catching the football. He was getting targets out of the backfield, and that was the big knock on him coming into the year, which is why, you know, even after rushing for 2,000 yards last year, he was still going as running back four on average in drafts. But now he's added some pass catching to his game, and it's taken it to the next level, and oh my gosh, he's already up to 18 receptions this year through seven games, even tallying six catches in week two. And he went for 55 yards in the air. He's already only one reception off his career high total for a season, and it's only week seven. So Derrick Henry, you know, this step from Henry has put him square right in the middle of the conversation for number one overall pick in fantasy drafts next fall. And I got to tell you what, he has really proven me wrong from a fantasy aspect, because he has been nothing short of phenomenal this year. Now, and as we look over the rest of the leaderboard, there are a few more surprise storylines that we can talk about here. I definitely wanted to talk about a few of these players and go into a little bit of depth with them. The first being DeAndre Swift, who is the second highest scoring running back this season. He has done a lot of his work through the passing game, albeit, especially with Detroit being winless and trailing in every game this season. You know, and we can see that just in the difference in his ranking between PPR and standard. All the rankings I mentioned, you know, from here on out are going to be in PPR scoring. It's just, you know, what kind of most of the fantasy community is moving towards as their standard platform. But he is ranked sixth at the position in standard scoring, which does not reward points for receptions, but he is number two in PPR scoring. He was one player that was kind of sliding down draft boards during the process because of an injury, as well as some quotes from their head coach, Dan Campbell, who they said they were going to kind of ease him back on into the fold after his injury. Wasn't really in the best of shape, Dan Campbell even said. But that has absolutely not been the case. However, you know, week one may have been kind of a feeling out process, but ever since then, the talent has won out in that backfield, and Swift has exceeded even his most bullish supporters' expectations. You know, they have been absolutely phenomenal. He's been absolutely phenomenal for Detroit and has been a real, real good player for them and could potentially be a league winner for players that ended up drafting him. You know, he was sliding into the mid-third round. He was going in the second round at some point, but ended up going in the third round in some drafts, so he could really turn out to be one of the steals of the draft. The next player who I wanted to talk about is Steelers running back Najee Harris. This man has been an absolute workhorse. He was going in the early second round of drafts this last year, but has been putting up numbers that warrant him going in the first group of running backs that started going off the board in the first round. You know, that kind of top six, that McCaffrey, Dalvin, Kamara, Derrick Henry, Ezekiel Elliott, Saquon Barkley, Aaron Jones, you know, those guys that were going early in the first round, he's joining that conversation. Najee is currently the fifth-ranked running back in PPR scoring, and that is also with Harris having a bye last week. The concern with Harris was the Pittsburgh offense, obviously, and the continued regression of Big Ben, yada, yada, yada. However, the reason I was so bullish on him and why many in the industry were pointing to him as a steal in the second round was his volume of touches. He averages right about 25 opportunities per game, which includes carries and targets in the passing game. And when you have that kind of workload, it almost makes you like, you can't bust. Like, you don't have those bust weeks. You know, he has had some down weeks. Granted, his week one was not great. But, you know, since then, if you continue to get 25 opportunities every single game over the course of the season, you're going to just compile so many statistics that it makes you a great fantasy player. You know, he is a true three-down player who will be going into the, in the first half of drafts next season. Even if the offense improves even slightly, he's going to be a big-time player next year. Another guy who has been the waiver wire darling of the season so far is Cordarrelle Patterson. He has long been a favorite to be a breakout player, going way back to his days in Minnesota, but now is finally starting to fulfill that potential. Patterson's versatility has opened doors for him that simply aren't there for many other running backs in the league. Patterson currently is ranked as the number 8 running back in fantasy this season. He is a player who sees, on average, 9 carries a game as well as 6 targets per game, giving him a total of 15 opportunities per game. In an offense that's not filled with a ton of options, you know, on the perimeter. You know, they have Calvin Ridley, who's a superstar wide receiver, and Kyle Pitts, who's finally starting to come into his own. But after that, it's Cordarrelle Patterson. And he's also overtaking it was clear from week one that Mike Davis was not going to be an every down running back for Atlanta. So it allowed Patterson to swoop in there and steal some touches and eventually steal the starting job. And now he's kind of number 3 on that list. The biggest thing for Patterson is the dual threat ability. Along with finding pay dirt 4 times this season, you know, it's really given him a chance to capitalize on the physical gifts, you know, that he's always possessed. So he's been someone who's been a godsend for players. I know one guy in my league actually took McCaffrey number 1, but ended up getting Cordarrelle Patterson off of waivers, and it's been absolutely huge for him. It's been able to buoy him a little bit this season. With some under-the-radar names cracking into the top 10, that means some players had to slip out, obviously. And that was the top 2 picks by consensus in drafts this season, who were Christian McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook, who are currently ranked 37th and 28th, respectively, at the running back position. This has mainly been due to an injury, as CMC is averaging 19 fantasy points per game in the 3 games he's played this season, and that also includes a game he left due to injury. And Dalvin Cook has played in 4 games this year, averaging 17 fantasy points per game, also including a game he left due to injury. While these two players have been pretty disappointing in terms of fantasy output so far, they're not currently expected to miss the remainder of the season, which allows those teams who select them early in the draft to hopefully make a playoff push if they were able to tread water while they've been out. Let's talk about some wideouts now. The wide receiver discussion in 2021 starts with Cooper Kupp. The man has been flat out wrecking crew so far this season and has been dominating week in and week out. Paired up with Matt Stafford this year, Kupp has taken his game to Randy Moss type levels. Yes, Randy Moss. Kupp is the number 1 player in fantasy across all positions in PPR scoring. He's totaling 809 yards and 9 touchdowns through only 7 games. That's a 1,964 yard pace and a 22 touchdown pace. Just for context, the single season record for receiving yards is in fact 1,964, set by Calvin Johnson in 2012. Obviously, there's an extra game this year, so that will help him. Also, the record for touchdowns in a season is 23, set by Randy Moss in 2007. And only one other time has a receiver gone over 20 touchdowns in a season. and that is the best to ever do it, Jerry Rice. Kupp has not been the only surprise this season, though, and let's give a quick round of applause to Ja'Marr Chase. The rookie is absolutely shattering records for stats to start a career. He has the most yardage of anyone through the first seven games of a career at 754. Paired with his college teammate, Joe Burrow, the connection has been obvious and seamless. Ja'Marr has also already scored 6 times this season, and this past week he went over 200 yards in a single game. He is the second youngest receiver ever to do that, only behind Mike Evans, back in the 2014 season. The rookie was catching a lot of flack in the fantasy community this season, myself included, based on his ADP being very high for a rookie wide receiver, as well as reports coming out of Bengals camp that he was having trouble with drops in the preseason. Chase has swiftly put both of those concerns to bed, however, as he is on a historic pace statistically. He is also helping his team win as a big part of the 5-2 Bengals, which currently lead the AFC and the number one seed. So they'd currently have a bye and home field advantage throughout the playoffs if it started today. So just an outstanding season from Ja'Marr Chase so far, and he has been the stud that many pegged him to be. 3 players have also jumped into the top 10 this season that have surprised some people. The 3 players being Deebo Samuel at number 5, Marquise Brown at number 6, and Mike Williams at number 10. Deebo is showing that he is the true number one in the San Francisco offense, and now that Jimmy G is back under center, for how long we don't know, but now that he's back, Deebo has looked every bit of the stud that he's flashed at points of his career. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, if and when they make that transition to Trey Lance, because I do think when they go to Trey Lance, Deebo may take a little bit of a step back in production. However, while Jimmy G's back, Deebo is going to consistently be a stud and will most likely put up wide receiver one numbers while Jimmy G is starting. Hollywood Brown is also starting to live up to some of the potential that he's been flashing throughout his career. The only difference for him this season has been the consistency. He's always been a huge boomer bust player that could single-handedly win or lose you a fantasy matchup in any given week. However, this season, he's tying it all together in a way that has taken him to the next level in fantasy. I don't think he's quite yet a true number one top 12 fantasy wide receiver, set it and forget it. However, I think he has proven to be a very strong number 2 fantasy option that still has a lot of that, you know, on any given week potential that can win you a matchup. And obviously with the progression of Lamar Jackson and hit the way he's been passing the ball and the way he's been completing passes, you know, Hollywood's been a big piece of that, and he's been benefiting a lot from the continued progression of Lamar Jackson. The 3rd player in this grouping is Chargers wide receiver Mike Williams. Like the other 2 players I mentioned, Williams has always been a player that has captured the hearts of fantasy players based on his huge week-winning stat lines he would put up. The difference this year, and you can probably see the trend on why I grouped these players together, is consistency. Mike Williams has become a lot more consistent this year, and with all the wide receivers, you know, he is prone to a stinker game. You know, all wide receivers are inconsistent in terms of that. But this year, with the step that Justin Herbert has taken, Mike Williams is starting to live up to the draft capital Los Angeles spent on him, as well as the God-given physical abilities he possesses. He has kind of tailed off. You know, he had a rough game going into the bye, obviously the bye last year, but I still expect him to continue to play well, obviously with the Chargers really going for it. You know, obviously with Keenan Allen over there on the other side taking up, you know, usually the number one cornerback, Mike Williams is just feasting on opposing defenses this year. The last name I wanted to touch on here is Colts wide receiver Michael Pittman Jr. He was a favorite among many in the fantasy community coming into the year based on a few different factors. The first being that franchise legend T.Y. Hilton was going to be missing time to start the season with an extended absence from a neck injury that even had him contemplating retirement. T.Y. has since come back from the injury and has once again found himself on the injury report with another ailment. And I say all that to say that leaves Pittman as the true number one option on this offense. He had a pretty solid rookie season, but many sensed that a breakout was coming this year. The other reason people were high on him was the perceived quarterback upgrade from Phillip Rivers to Carson Wentz. And no, I'm not saying Carson Wentz is better than Phillip Rivers, but in the year 2021, and even in the, you know, in the year 2021, yes, he is better than what Phillip Rivers provided the Colts last year. And especially for the deep targets in which Michael Pittman has the elite physical abilities to exploit. Pittman is currently ranked as the number 20 wide receiver in PPR scoring this season after going as the wide receiver 43 in terms of ADP and draft season. The Colts also have a nice little runway of games here, starting next week with the Titans, then the Jets, then the Jaguars after that. So I think as long as T.Y. remains out of the lineup, and even when he does come back, I could see Pittman consistently being ranked among a group of low-end wide receiver twos for fantasy rosters. To finish off the episode, let's just go over the tight end position real quick after I've kind of neglected it most of the season. This year, coming into draft season, there was a clear top three at the position: Travis Kelce, Darren Waller, and George Kittle. Kelce has performed every bit of the player he was drafted to be so far, making him still the number one tight end in fantasy. Waller also started off very, very well, but has tailed off slightly over the last couple weeks. And, I expect him after this injury and, you know, coming off the bye, having time to heal up, he's going to go right back to his consistent ways. George Kittle, the last name in that group, has also been placed on IR once this season after kind of underperforming to start the year. Didn't score touchdowns, but he's always been a yardage guy, a reception guy. And now that Jimmy G's back and Kittle should be back in a week or two, you know, we're expecting big things for Kittle down the stretch. The thought this year was also that you had to get one of those guys to have that weekly advantage over your league mates at the tight end position. And for Kelce, that has mostly been true. But after that, it was much wiser, in hindsight now, to wait and exploit the later round tight ends in your draft. A couple of the mid-round tight ends have popped, specifically Mark Andrews and TJ Hockenson, who are currently tight end number 2 and number 4 respectively. But most of the top 10 guys are guys you could have found on waivers or in the later rounds of your draft. Mike Gesicki, shout out South Jersey, is currently tight end 3 on the year after going as the tight end 13 in drafts. Dalton Schultz, this was the absolute find of the year, has been a tight end who's provided gold to those who dug at the waiver wire to start the year. Currently at tight end 5 so far, including the bye week, which they had last week, he was drafted as the tight end 36 in drafts this year, even behind his teammate Blake Jarwin. And Schultz has absolutely taken the helm at the tight end position, has been great for a Cowboys team that currently leads the league in yards per play. A couple other guys who are in the top 10 but went outside the top 12 in drafts this season are Dawson Knox and Hunter Henry, who went tight end 32 and tight end 15 respectively. This is another position in fantasy where you're able to mine the later rounds or even the waiver wire for very productive players, because at the end of the day, you only start one tight end on a given week, which means there are a lot of options on the wire throughout the year you can go to. Otherwise, you'll be holding multiple tight ends on your roster because you're not dropping Darren Waller or George Kittle just because of an injury. And you're not dropping them because of the draft capital you spent on them, along with the talent. You know, even a guy like Kyle Pitts, who was struggling to start the year, like, you're not going to drop him because you spent a sixth-round pick on him. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to drop him. So you're going to wait. He's starting to perform better now. He's starting to get more into the offense. But that's a scenario where You could go up and take Kelce, or you could wait and, you know, pick up Dawson Knox or Dalton Schultz off the waiver wire, and just like that, you have a top 10 option at the position. All right, everyone, that's going to wrap it up. Just to put a bow on the show, please hit that subscribe button if you enjoyed what we talked about today. Also, if you enjoyed the podcast as a whole, please leave a 5-star review on the platform you're listening on. It would really mean a lot, and it would help the podcast reach new audiences. If you want to follow us on social media, check the description below. I hope you all enjoyed, and I can't wait to see you back here again next time. I am your host, Noah Gillian, but hey, this is just one man's opinion.